So this morning, the title is Individual Wholeness. So the things I want to talk about today have to do with our own hearts as individuals. I want us to think about us. We're not going to think so much about our marriages. We're thinking about us personally, as husbands and wives. Who we are as individuals coming into our marriages greatly impacts the strength and the stability of our marriage. And so I'll be sharing this morning from the premise. I simply come from the premise that we were born into and we live in a world that has been broken. We live in a broken world. That, I think, is just a foundational way to think about life. You know, we were born into a broken world. Things really are not the way they were meant to be. Sin has changed the world into something that God never intended. The hate, the war, the murder, the lust, the sin in all its forms has brought about such a brokenness in the world that we see around us and within our own hearts and lives as well. Brother Mark led us in a song, and we said that we all sang together. We said that we all, together we seek thee. For this whole congregation has what? Knowledge of what?
Sin.
Is that true? I see. That's true. Okay. I believe we all understand that. We all understand sin. And that we understand to greater or lesser degrees the impact that has had on our own hearts and in the lives, the families that we grew up in, and the communities we live in, and the brokenness that is there. Sin leaves wounds, and there are a lot of wounded, hurting people going on in this world, just going on in this world, just going on and on and on. So first, our own sins bring damage to our souls. David understood this when he prayed. David said, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. He was just recognizing that our own sins just bring a wound to our souls that that needs to find healing in Jesus. Those wounds must find healing if we are going to be whole people and if we are going to have marriages of strength, marriages that are blessed, that healing of our own sins must happen. Not only does our own sins bring destruction, but the sins of others against us also brings harm and damage and destruction. And we all come from homes. We all grew up in homes of greater or lesser degrees of brokenness. It's the way it is. My parents had weaknesses and things. Elizabeth and I have weaknesses, and to greater or lesser degrees. And I realize that there are some homes where there is just a tremendous amount of brokenness and chaos and destruction and damage and hurt and woundedness. So to greater or lesser degrees, but there is always a level of that brokenness because it's just the world we live in, the sin that is ever, ever present that wants to get its grip on our hearts. It's ongoing. It's not just that which is in the past. There was just that continual need of cleansing and healing for the things we do that actually wound and damage our souls, and then the things that others are against us. If we never find healing, we basically become incapable in our ability to engage in meaningful relationships with anyone, and particularly in our marriage relationship. It just will not happen if we do not experience healing. Brother Donald talked about those walls that we put up, and that is true. If there's things in our lives, our own sins, other things that have been happened to us that have never found healing, it just creates a wall and an inability to engage in meaningful, healthy relationships. And there are multitudes of marriages that have been damaged and destroyed because of individuals who have entered into marriage as damaged goods and they end up carrying that baggage of their past into the marriage relationship. And if we are unable to experience healing, then our there's those flashpoints, just the ways that we respond to situations that we end up becoming controlled and guided by those things in ways that we don't even understand. We don't understand. You know, I think of a flashpoint or touch point. For some reason, I think of it's flintlock season for those of you who hunt, and there's that flash pan, And, you know, when that flash pan goes off, there's a lot of other things happen too. Well, sometimes, not always. But, you know, there's a greater boom, right? And a lot of other damage and destruction can happen. And so we can be people with just a lot of, you know, that there's a lot of situations and things that our spouses say or people do, and there's just that explosion. There's just that reaction. Or maybe it's not in anger, but maybe it's in weeping or crying. Or there's just a reaction. We become defensive in our relationships. And then it's just amazing that when Jesus comes in and brings healing to people, it just takes that defensiveness away. There is nothing that we don't need to defend ourselves. If we're wrong, we're wrong. And we can say, I was wrong. It's okay. But if our hearts are bound up, it makes an inability to be humble enough to say, I was wrong. The salesman that came to my home this week, I suspect he was probably in his upper 60s, lower 70s. I do not know him well. I only met him a few times. And so he started telling me a little bit about his life. And it was just kind of like, it just came kind of out in bits and pieces. He would just kind of make a statement. And then he kind of made another statement. And he just started kind of telling me some of his journey. He said something to the effect, he said, that it's something what unforgiveness can do to a person. It's kind of one of his first statements, okay? Where's he, you know, what's he saying? What was he trying to say? He told me he came to the Lord when he was around 13. But he walked away from the Lord for 15 years. Okay, and so I'm just listening. You know, what's he going to say? He said, I walked away from the Lord for 15 years. And he just said, well, he said, my relationship with my dad wasn't the best. That was insightful. What's that have to do with walking away from the Lord? Well, what does bitterness do in the heart of a person? Makes us walk away from a lot of things, doesn't it? A lot of healthy relationships we walk away from. A lot of what could be. The healthy relationships, the healthy marriages, what bitterness can do in the heart of a person, even toward God. The way it impacts even our relationship with God, because you cannot be a bitter person and have a good connection with the Lord at the same time. It doesn't work. You can't be bitter at someone else, at a person, another human, and have a meaningful connection with the Lord at the same time. Because God always calls us to deal with that bitterness. Because he does not want his people to be bitter people. The fruit is never the fruit that he wants from our lives. He went on to say, he said, there was a lot of people I had to forgive. And so we realized that when bitterness sets in, it often spreads. I think he mentioned church people in his church. Probably the people who were trying to speak into his life. I just read that into it. He didn't say that. I'm assuming it was probably a lot of people, probably the ministry, whoever that was trying to speak into his life. During those years, he must have got married because he was 30 when he came to the Lord. He talked about coming home late at night from drinking. In describing what his life was like during the years, he put his head down. He just put his head down. He said, I could have walked into a fence post. You know, I didn't necessarily ask him what he meant by that. Here's what I read into it. Life had become so dark, so meaningless, so in bondage that he couldn't even think straight. He couldn't even walk with his head lifted up. Life had become so dark. He talked about when he came back to the Lord. He talked about the miracle that was, of coming back to the Lord. And he said, a lot of that stuff just went away. A lot of bitterness, God just took it out of his heart. He didn't talk about what conversations he now had with his father a lot. He didn't talk about the conversations he had, but he said just a lot of that just went away. See, it's amazing what our connection with the Lord does in our hearts that frees us here. It doesn't always have to be this brings healing, although many times it does take for some honest conversation here. But when God frees our heart from bitterness, then we have the capacity to have relationships again. He told me wishes he could forget those years. I wished I could have talked to his wife. I can't imagine what she must have experienced over those years. She stuck with him. That's one thing I know. She stuck with him. And today, I can only imagine that she is grateful to God that he gave her the strength, the fortitude, the grace to stay engaged in the relationship, even though it was broken. His story tells a story of multitudes of people, multitudes of marriages. Most of them don't survive. Many people in those situations don't survive. I know that in the years following his conversion, he was involved in prison ministry. He spent time in Malawi, Africa for several years as a missionary, and I believe he is a pastor as well. God brought healing into his heart. He healed his wife and his relationship at the point where now they became fruitful trees in the kingdom. That testimony alone should offer us a lot of hope. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the brokenness, the woundedness that can be in our hearts as individuals that end up destroying, damaging what could be in our marriages. They both paid a high price tag. Yes, they did. Both husband and wife, they paid a high price tag for what happened. But God's mercy held them together. So this desire for this message is to give us an opportunity to think about our own lives, our own hearts. Are there things in our hearts, wounds from our past, or even wounds from just our you know, there's enough things continue to happen in our lives to wound us, by the way. It's not just way back there, okay? That woundedness can happen today. You know that. There's just enough brokenness in the world, enough sin going around yet to make all of us bitter people. Psalm 147, verse 4 reads, "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." And we can read verses like that with little feeling. You know, some of these verses are fairly common, and we can hear verses like that, and it just doesn't mean a lot. You know, the things that are happening in Israel, Gaza, Ukraine, Russia, you know, some of the horrible atrocities that are happening to people, to human beings, I can hardly even let my mind think about it. I can hardly even go there. This is actually happening in the world. These things happen. It is horrendous. Just how cruel people can become. And the horrible things that can happen to humans. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Those verses were likely penned by Haggai or Zechariah. Don't believe that was a Psalm of David. Likely they were penned by Haggai the prophet, either Haggai or Zechariah. And it would have been after the captivity of Israel. After the people of Judah had been, after the Babylonian Empire had come in and basically just obliterated the people of Judah, the things that God allowed in their lives because of the path that they had chosen. And If we read, if just all I have to do is just go into the prophets, some of the Old Testament prophets, and just read some of what was happening to the people of Judah and Israel over that time. When the Babylonian Empire came in, it was not a pretty story. Believe me, there was a lot of people over there in captivity who had lost loved ones there in the battlefield. A lot of dead loved ones, and people who had been wounded and abused and treated incredibly terrible. The prophet wrote these words. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. That was written to a people who had been wounded badly. I suspect there were many in that crowd that the prophet wanted to read this, whose lives were treated worse than many of us have been treated. I think what is happening in Israel and Gaza would look rather tame compared to what happened there when the Babylonian Empire came down and decimated the people of Judah. Whether it's Haggai or Zechariah who penned those words, they believed in a God who can heal even the most violent evils that are committed against us. That's the God that he believed in. That's the God that I believe in this morning. That God is able to heal the most violent wounds that can happen in the hearts of people, in the lives of people. One Sabbath day, Jesus was in Nazareth, and he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. When he stood up to read, the attendant, the minister, handed him a book, and it happened to be the book of Isaiah. And Jesus opened the book of Isaiah, and he turned it to chapter 61, and he began to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to heal, to preach the poor, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. How you rated your marriage this morning on a scale of 1 to 10, or should I say perhaps how your marriage really is, has a lot to do with whether or not or to what degree we have experienced the healing power of Jesus in our hearts and lives. It's a reflection of how the ways in which you have or have not experienced Jesus, the power of Jesus, in your hearts and lives. All of us have been sinned against by others enough to be damaged and broken, and we have personally sinned enough to cause us to bury our heads in shame and guilt the rest of our lives. When you think of people who are sick, physically sick, okay, so you mothers or fathers, you know, when you think of someone who is sick, what are some of the symptoms that they're sick? Just name some. What are some symptoms that we can think about? When your child comes down in the morning and, or whatever.
Fever.
Lethargy.
Cough.
Crying.
Glassy eyes.
Swelling. Blood dripping. Right? There's a wound. Something needs healed, right? Okay. So, looks like many of us can pick up on what those things are. Now, let's think about people and what are some symptoms that something is not going right in the heart of a person? That are the things that still need healed. What are some symptoms that you can think of?
Attitudes.
Cheerful attitudes. Cheerful attitudes.
Anger.
Anger. Good. Yes, okay.
Silence.
Silence. That's just I'm sleepy, you know, right? More likely the silent treatment, right? Okay, when you get a silent treatment. Good. Other things.
Indifference.
Indifference. You know that silence and indifference So we can attack people. You know, we can attack people by get angry. We attack. We say angry words. We do things to, you know, and we attack. Do you realize that silence and maybe indifference is just another form of attack? Okay, you're not really being a better Christian, to be honest. It may be less destructive than, you know, the frying pan down over the head or something, but it is still a form of attack. Okay? You're trying to say something by our silence many times. Now, I realize sometimes wisdom is that maybe we just need to maybe not say anything for a period of time to give our hearts calm, time to calm down and to, you know, be more restful, and then we can, you know, maybe communicate in a more effective way. So I understand that. But if we are using silence or indifference as a way of trying to twist arm, it's just another form of attack. Other things. What are symptoms that something has gone wrong in the heart of a person when it comes to relationships?
Arguing.
Good.
Distancing.
Mm-hmm. Withdrawal again.
Criticism.
Being critical. Just having a critical spirit. Yes. Good.
Reaction.
When there's communication, it just comes out as a reaction. Always kind of a reaction. Yes, good. What about easily offended?
Blaming others.
Comes out in blame. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's never my fault. And it's interesting. There was a couple here, this just last evening, sharing with us, and they said one of the things in with one of their sons that was struggling is that when he finally took responsibility for his actions, just a lot changed for the good. Yes, okay, good. Unable to take responsibility, just always tell people's fault. Is that, I am the way I am because of that. It's just not me, not my problem. Easily offended, that's one. You know, if our spouse is unable to speak into our lives, we just, as soon as they try to say something to grow us, you know, we just react and respond to just easily offended, given to conflict. Perhaps even depression, although I'm not trying to say that all these symptoms are a sign that their heart has gone wrong. Okay, but very good. So, something for us to think about. You know, where are we? Okay. You know, the scripture, Proverbs, is full of verses that talk about the fool. And what is one thing that stands out in those verses? Anybody can tell me. When it describes a fool, what is one thing that it says?
Wise in his own eyes.
Good.
Says there's no God.
Fool says there's no God. Yes, those are the good. Okay, one of the things I see is that inability to hear rebuke. Inability to hear when others want to speak into our lives, can't take it. Walls, pushback, anger. That's a fool. Unless that changes, they remain that way. And I think, you know, I think it, when I think about those people, okay, over there, you know, and I think, you know, if 10 years ago they would have just started to listen to people, think where they could be today. They could have grown. You know, they could be trees where fruit is pouring out of their lives if they could have just began to listen. But the woundedness is too deep, and they haven't found healing to where they're actually able to receive rebuke. And I'm not just talking about rebuke. Can be a lot of things. Even just people want to speak into our lives, you know, just speaking good things into our lives and helping us to grow. And by the way, what a blessing that we live with somebody every day that has the opportunity to speak into our lives. We have a lot of opportunities to grow if we would just take those opportunities. You know that? Okay? Invite your spouse to speak into your life. What are ways that you see that I could grow? You know, what are some areas in my life? And I suspect if we would do that on a regular basis, that all of us could become just trees with just a lot more fruit coming out of our lives. Brother Don, what time is this supposed to end? Want to say this? When there is conflict between your spouse, it is not in the air between you. Okay? So you're in conflict, right? You're in conflict, okay? And it's not what is happening between you here that's the problem. You're the problem. Okay? It's what is in the heart. Your heart is where the problem lies. It's not in the conflict between you. And I'm not saying that you're always the fault, you know, like your fault. No. It's one or both of you, okay? That something is going wrong, okay? It's not in the air here. It's in your heart. Always remember that. When there are struggles, when there is conflict, when there is tension, think about this is a heart problem. It's not what's happening between us. It's not the problem. This thing is not the problem, okay? She ran the car into a tree, the dent, the money. That's not the problem. It's our hearts and what's happening in here. Conflict, attack, and withdrawal from each other is merely the fruit of what's going on in our hearts. And the resolution, the answer to that, is in the heart too. The heart must be dealt with. So there's several stories in the scriptures I want us to think about. In Matthew chapter 9, we have the story of a man who was paralyzed. And when Jesus steps off the boat in a town where this man lived, some other men carried this man to Jesus lying on a mat. And when Jesus saw the faith of these men, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Okay, you hear what's happening? This man's paralyzed, he got a problem. And Jesus says, and this happened to cause some troubles with the scribes that were there, and perhaps the Pharisees, and the idea of Jesus forgiving sins, they didn't like that. And Jesus finally says to the man, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk, and go to thine own house." And the man gets up and he walks to his own house. He walks home. The story doesn't tell us any more about the man. Don't know if he was married or not. But I want you wives to think what it would be like to marry that man. Okay, he was a paralytic. I'm so grateful your wife's not paralytic this morning. Okay, I'm glad this is temporary. She's in a wheelchair, it's temporary. Okay, but imagine what it would be like if your wife was paralyzed for life. Okay, it would impact your lives deeply, wouldn't it? It would impact you. It would impact your marriage. Not saying it necessarily would say a marriage to be bad, but it would be a struggle. Does sin in the heart of a husband or wife impact a marriage? It does. Okay, sin. If there's things in our hearts that we have not brought to the light, it impacts the marriage. And Jesus has said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." So apparently he was a sinner. And it doesn't say that's why he was paralyzed. It just says that he was, you know, Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." In chapter 5 of Mark, we have a story of another man who was possessed with unclean spirits. He was possessed with demons. It says that men would tie him up with chains and with fetters, and he would just simply snap the chains. He was just a man that was out of control. He was a violent man. If you were married to this man, do you suspect his violence and being possessed and controlled by demons could in any way impact your marriage? I'm sure you all say yes, it would. That would impact her marriage. Or what about the sinner woman who came to Jesus while he was having a meal at the Pharisee's house? It's quite likely that she was a prostitute or involved in a life of crime in some way. But we know that she was a sinner woman. Her life was messed up really bad. It is quite likely she had no capacity to bond long-term with any man or even have the desire to do so. Husbands, how do you think it would impact your marriage if you were married to that sinner woman? Or consider being married to Mary Magdalene, who is full of evil spirits. How would that impact your marriage? And I realize these stories may sound extreme. You say, "Well, that's not us." Good, okay. It is difficult to even imagine the devastation and damage it would bring to any marriage relationship to be married to any one of those four people. That is, until they met Jesus. Wives, consider this. One day you're out and all of a sudden you see your paralyzed husband come running across the yard, come running back home, just running. And he comes through the door and he is just praising God. God has forgiven his sins. He's healed him. He's walking. He's coming home. He's walking. And he can you imagine what that would have been like? And he's praising God for sins forgiven. I suspect that a lot would change about your marriage in a short time. Or what would it be like hanging out washed someday, some morning, and your violent, possessed husband would calmly, humbly come walking across the yard, clothed and sane. And by a look on his face, you realize that something drastic had happened to this man. And then he would begin to share with you what Jesus had done for him. and how the Lord had been so merciful and compassionate to him. Do you suppose anything would change about your marriage? Or husbands, how would you imagine your marriage changing if your unfaithful wife would come home, now a forgiven woman, with a newfound peace in her heart, the tears of repentance still wetting her cheeks? Wounded people result in wounded relationships. I simply want to name just some of the more common wounds that we as humans carry. That man that I talked to said he things just weren't very good between my father and I. That is a common human experience. Many people are still wrestling, as adult, married adults, still wrestling with the wounds of what has come in their relationship with their parents. Or living with parents who are just emotionally distant, perhaps bound up in their own wounds. So we often have to think about that. Often the people who wound us are also people who are bound up in their own wounds, unable to, perhaps haven't found healing in their own lives. Sexual abuse, being used by others for their own advantage. People who are continually criticized, being put down by significant people in their lives. Being bullied, shamed, mocked. Just growing up in a home where there's just a lot of conflict, just anger, trauma in your past. Living with someone with a mental illness. All those things, it just has a way of impacting our hearts, bind us up. I simply share these things as an opportunity for you to search your own hearts. I'm not wanting to go into unhealthy introspection here this weekend, though. Okay? I don't want you to sit here thinking, oh man, there's things in my past that aren't best. Okay. Just honestly. Evaluate your heart. Ask your spouse if they see you as living as a free person. Is it safe enough to do that in your relationship? Is your relationship safe enough? I trust it can become so safe that you are able to talk about those things. There is nothing. I am convinced that a couple can be no closer in their relationship as they are willing to be honest. Ouch. Steps to take. Being honest, I think being honest. Here again, that's why I believe the Holy Spirit, we just long for the Holy Spirit to be here today, and that he's able to actually, that we're able to sit here quiet enough, quiet our hearts enough to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. God doesn't let his children alone. He doesn't just walk away because we refuse to listen. He continues to call and to draw us. And I believe this weekend is just an opportunity, another opportunity for us to be quiet enough that we're able to hear him speaking into areas of our lives that need healing. I believe opening our hearts to our spouse is another step in the journey, can be another step in the journey. If you're unable to do it together, find someone that you can do it with. I'm not saying that everybody needs to run off the counselors. I was involved in counseling for numerous years. And I don't believe that everybody needs to run off the counselors to be healed. But I will say this. If you are not finding healing, find someone that you can journey with. Don't just keep walking the same road. Don't just keep flipping the light switch when the electricity's turned off. It won't come on. Okay? I'm saying do something. If you and your spouse can't communicate about it, if it's just too touchy, too hard, too difficult, you're not familiar with that type of language, find people that you can walk with. Find another couple that you can sit down with. Turn to the pastors in your congregations. Go somewhere, but do something. Just don't do nothing. That's what I'm saying. Another thing you can do is come to Penn Valley for seminars, because I talked about abuse. We talked about anger here this morning. If you go back and look at the list of seminars that's listed here over the next couple of years, or if you're dealing with somebody, and if some of the things have to do with handicapped people, paralyzed people, Brother Keith, Martin, I believe you're, are you moderating a handicap seminar this year, or was that last? You were scheduled.
I'm on the schedule.
He's on the schedule. We need to pray for Brother Keith. They have a handicapped son, and he's planning to come here and have a part in that weekend. There is places to turn to. There are places where, like Penn Valley, who are trying to give opportunity for people to experience healing. I believe that is some of the heart and the vision behind what's happening here at Penn Valley. We want, it is just such a gift when the people of God are finding Jesus and their lives are just radiating out the joy of Jesus in their lives. And what a shame when our churches and the life that could be in our congregations is stifled and dead because there's too many wounded people that haven't found healing in there. They can't have meaningful relationships because they're even among themselves as brothers and sisters, because they're just too bound up, unable to have the depth of conversations needed to inspire and encourage life in our congregations and in our homes. What a shame that there's so many of our homes that it's just not life-giving homes. There's death there. What a shame. It doesn't have to be this way. I'm just telling you, it does not have to be this way. Remember the words of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Oh, Jesus apparently wants to heal our hearts. And I want to say that he has the power to do so. What was the testimony that Mennonite man I talked about? Jesus came in and healed him. They found healing in their marriage because there was fruit coming out of their lives. That's one way we know. If there's fruit of blessing and joy and giving, that says a lot about our hearts and whether or not we've experienced the healing that needs to happen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, those who are bound up in their past and all the wounds, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them who are bruised. Bruised sounds like wounding, right? What the Mennonite salesman found to be true, you can also find to be true. Many times I have asked myself the question over the years, what is healing? How do we know if we're healed? How do we know? What is healing? You know, we maybe heard the term, you know, forgive and forget. Don't believe in that. I do believe that forgiveness gives us a different way of remembering. It's not the sting anymore. When that man could forgive his father, the sting is gone. Doesn't mean we forget the experiences. No, but we continue to keep our hands off the throat of other people when we forgive. We don't put our hands around their throat and say, you owe me something. We're able to release them. What is healing? Something for us to consider. The paralyzed man that was brought to Jesus, when Jesus healed him, the man could walk. When Jesus said, arise, take up thy bed and go into thine own house, the man arose, he took up his bed, and he went home. I don't know if the man walked with a limp or not. If I was paralyzed and I just had a limp, I think I'd still be jumping up and down, okay? Sometimes people, I think, do walk with a bit of a limp. I really do. But you know what I've also found out? That limp is what God uses when they start reaching into the lives of others. You can see there's a little bit of a limp yet. They're healed. Their hearts are healed. There might be a little bit of a limp, but God ends up using that limp, and suddenly they are out ministering to others. They're able to give and to offer, and God uses that thing of their past as a springboard for which to speak and to minister to the heart of others. One of the most significant things I see that this man that spoke about healing in the heart of this man is he was able to obey Jesus. Jesus said, arise, take up your bed, take up your mat, and go home. And he just obeyed. He did what Jesus told him to do. So if we are unable, like Brother Donald said last night, okay, to even love our enemies, okay, to love those, to even love our spouses whenever it seems like all we get is jabs and wounds, okay, if we're not able to love, we need greater healing from Jesus in our own hearts. The demon-possessed man, when Jesus healed the demon-possessed man, he went from being irrational to having a sound mind. And I would just like to add this. This may be more for us men, okay? Sometimes we don't do real well communicating, okay? Sometimes it's just difficult for us to communicate and to actually have sincere conversations. Do you know what I mean by sincere conversations? Okay, it's easy when things get a little bit sticky in a relationship just to kind of joke it off or to make statements to just kind of keep that thing out of here. Keep it away. You know what I mean? And you just, you know, maybe kind of laugh, joke it off, whatever. And don't really sit down and say, what am I hearing? What are you trying to say to me? What do you want me to hear this morning? Okay? We're unable to be sincere. Okay? I believe that when Jesus heals people, it gives them the capacity to be sincere in relationships. And I want to say, I think we can grow in that. We tend to be a bunch of scaredy cats. Can't have honest conversations with anybody. It's just an area we can't, I don't know, we just can't enter into very well. It's hard work, okay? Be that person. Start in your marriages and then take it into your friendships. The ability to be sincere. When you get together with your friends, don't spend all night sitting around joking and just having a good time. There's at times whenever I just am tired of heavy conversations, because I tend to have a lot of those with people at times, and I just get tired and weary, and I just want to have a good evening just shooting a breeze, just talking, I don't care, farm, hunt, whatever, don't, you know, just not having conversations. But I can see that that's a weakness sometimes too, because I can push away those hard conversations. But don't be people who push them away. Embrace them. Learn how to do it. Practice. You just can practice every day. You and your spouse, start practicing having sincere, honest conversations and then spread that out into your relationships. Your brotherhoods will be blessed. So this man who was possessed of the evil spirit had the capacity now to be sincere. He went from being out of control with his body to sitting calmly. He was no longer controlled by the things that took him out of control. And by the way, anger is one of those things that can take a man out of control. If you have anger, okay, and it continues to control you and to control you and to control you, you need healing. You need Jesus. Or lust or other sin. If your body, your mind is controlled by lust, by anger, by other things, you need to find freedom and healing in Jesus. The woman that was known as a sinner, when she came to Jesus, when she came to Jesus in brokenness, repentance, and experienced forgiveness and healing, it says that she now had the capacity, and what was the word that you used? She what? To Jesus.
Minister.
I think that's on farther down. That is farther down. But what was the other word? It says she loved much. She went to being a woman who couldn't love anything but herself, to a woman who was able to love much. Her life was no longer just about her being bound up in her own self-centered world. If in our hearts and actions we're unable to love people, even difficult people, we have not experienced true healing. Not able to, this woman able to love much, it says she became a woman who has understood worship. She became a woman who understood worship, and Jesus' final words to her were, go in peace. I believe she became a woman of peace, just a peaceful woman. Or consider Mary Magdalene, when she experienced deliverance and healing from Jesus. She became a woman now who could minister. That's the one I was thinking of. That Mary Magdalene, it says she began to minister. There again, reaching out. There was fruit actually on her tree now. When those four individuals met Jesus, they experienced healing. One more thought I want to say. In the story of the paralyzed man, the paralytic, it says that there was, I forget the exact words it uses, but it says there were these men who brought the paralytic to Jesus. And it says he was born of them by four. There was four of them who were carrying. There was four men carrying it, but it's not like there could have been actually a larger group of men who were bringing this man to Jesus. And it says when Jesus saw what? It says when Jesus saw their faith, many times it says, you know, according to your faith be done to you. In this story, it looks like it's the faith of these men, the reason Jesus touched and healed that man. He says, when he saw their faith, there are times in our lives when we need others' faith to carry us through and to take us to Jesus. Sometimes life can become so dark, our minds become so confused, that we're unable to bring ourselves to Jesus. God has given you the opportunity. If you have found healing in your life, can you at times be willing to carry your spouse to Jesus? Healed people who have found healing in Jesus have the capacity, now have the capacity to carry others to Jesus. And it's your faith. Perhaps it's you speaking words of faith into their hearts that brings them to Jesus, that brings their hearts to Jesus. And let it spread out from your homes, homes of healing, where you have found healing, you have found Jesus, and then you are able to look around and carry other people to Jesus too. It's your faith that carries people to Jesus.